Okay. Hey.
Catch a vibe. We're gonna get you to the other side. Going you way back to the time. Reminisce and relax your mind. And catch a vibe.
Catch a vibe like a throwback. You with the bridge, about to turn it up. Picture perfect, no Kodak. And ain't no holdbacks. We getting real, getting raunchy. We bridge millennials, baby. We keep it saucy.
We're back. Welcome to the Bridge Millennial Podcast. Not we show Liz. Welcome to the Bridge Millennial Podcast. The shared perspective of the Bridge Millennial generation on culture, media, mental health, and society. My name is Shannon Ashlea, and I got a partner in crime, and his name is
Rob in the building. What's up, guys? I missed y'all.
It's been a quick little minute. It was like a little mini hiatus. But life be lifing.
Yep. Word.
Life be lifing. That was Rob's way of saying, yep, life be lifing.
Word.
And yeah, we're here because life be lifing. We kind of wanted to keep it really light today. And so we're having a game night. So get with your friends, tag a buddy, tag a partner, and listen in on some of these fun games that we're going to have for you today. And we're going to weave them into our segments. So y'all still got y'all segments. Don't trip. Okay. And we can go ahead and get started. But before that, I have to ask, Rob, how have you been doing? Like, how are you for real? I feel like it's been forever since we caught up.
It has been forever. I'm good now. It was like a wild couple of weeks for me, but I'm in a good space now. I'm in a very focused, driven, manifestation kind of space, getting my life. And yeah, what's up with you? How have you been? It has been a long time. And honestly, I don't think it's been a long, long time. We're just used to speaking quite regularly. So yeah, how have you been doing?
Like I said, life be lifing, but it's been really busy, which I definitely can say is a blessing. But sometimes you really just need time to breathe. And right now I'm feeling a little drained, like creatively, just because I've been working with my competition girls, and you kind of got to give it all you got. You know, you give them all your creativity, you give them your love, you give them your advice, and then you walk away feeling kind of drained. But I am glad I don't have to take any of them home at this point. So yes, for that right now, I can refill myself, and I will. And this is one of the ways that I will be doing it. So I'm glad to be here, and I'm happy to be talking to you, if not, you know, through our everyday text, right here on the good old bridge. So yeah,
the good old bridge.
That's the good old bridge. So yeah, I brought out my little accent for that. But yeah, so yeah, let's go ahead and get started. Let's slide into our way back.
What we gonna do right here is go back, way back, back into time.
All right, guys, for today's way back, we're going to be jumping into some games. We have a lot of fun planned for you guys today. I would like to start off by talking about a quick way back that I think that everybody can kind of relate to, though. And it's essentially like those, when you think when you were younger, those family games, those old school games that used to be played and kids probably shouldn't have been playing them. I'm talking about spades. I'm talking about dominoes. I'm talking about all of that. And through that experience, I don't know if this is true for y'all, but for me, definitely, I learned that there were certain games that I will refuse to play with certain people. Okay. And I wanted to know what's your most, if you had to rank like your top 2 to 3 most aggressive games that you can play with people that you can only play with, and then you know you can't play with certain people. I remember I had cousins that would just get out of jail. Certain things we could not play with them. They couldn't play. We could play dominoes, but they can't play Monopoly. That can't happen. The playground get a little too heated over that. So for you, what would be those top games that you're rated as aggressive?
Well, that's so funny that you say that, because if you knew me as if you really know me and you're listening, you're going to be like, it can be any game. Shannon is going to be very cutthroat. I am that. I'm that girl. But I will say, and I feel like Rob in New York, everything was so hardcore, so cutthroat. Like I grew up in a family that was, I was pretty sheltered. My mom was very careful about anything that she let me do. So I really wasn't playing like spades or dominoes or anything like that. But I was, not that dominoes is like hard, but it was definitely given board games. But I will say I became something of a Uno shark. So I'm definitely an Uno shark. You don't want to play Uno with me. It's going to get personal. You also don't want to play Scrabble with me. Okay. You don't want to play Scrabble with me because I'm a wordsmith. So you don't want to play Scrabble with me because we're gonna be looking up stuff in a dictionary. And then I would definitely say you don't want to play Taboo with me. You don't want to play Taboo with me. So, and I love all of those three, but I will get very aggressive with those. But if you're on my team, you have nothing to worry about.
That's wild. Taboo is like one of my favorite games. But I can't imagine you being a shark in Scrabble. Like,
I mean, why not? Like, I'm coming for blood. Give me an example
of something that might set you off in Scrabble. Because I mean, there's really only looking up the words. You making sure that the words are words.
Well, yeah, that's kind of it. Like,
to make sure that you got the best words.
No, I know the words that are words. It's just interesting playing with other people. You feel like you know what a word is and what it isn't, but then when you look in a dictionary and you end up being wrong, they be like mad. So it's just like, it's like that. And you know, stuff like, oh, everybody agreed that word doesn't count. Well, we're just gonna look it up just to make sure. I'm definitely that person. So you know, I feel like I follow the rules. I'm just saying, like, if it's a word, it counts. Period. If Webster, okay, if it's in the dictionary and Webster says it's a word, it's a goddamn word. And Webster has really expanded their definition of words and what, you know, is going into the dictionary. Like, I can't remember what that word they just added recently was, but I mean, they be adding hella shit. So, I mean, a lot of slang terms are in the dictionary at this point. So, I mean, if it's a word, it's in there, period. Okay. But yeah.
Do you keep a Scrabble dictionary? Because, you know, the Scrabble dictionary is like the most expansive dictionary. Like, it is.
I don't keep a Scrabble. I'm actually retired from Scrabble. What I will say is we've done Scrabble in an adult way. We raise the stakes. You raise the stakes. That's really how you raise the stakes in Scrabble. And he's like, what do you mean? I've definitely played like strip Scrabble. It's wild. Okay. You can really play strip any game.
I'm sorry. run that back, Turbo.
And this is not for childhood. This is adulthood. Let me be clear.
Yeah, we've gone past puberty with this one, but strip Scrabble, that's deep.
Me,
that is some nerd shit.
Yo, one of my ex boyfriends, because I, you know, I talk about my ex as if it's one person, but it might as well be. I used to play Scrabble with one of my exes, and we would really make it interesting. I mean, we would be drinking, we would be taking shots, like. There was definitely some crazy shit. Like, I definitely had some firsts from like a game of a strip Scrabble. Like, I'm not gonna tell you what I did, but it was the first time I had did that. So yeah, it got wild. But I love words, and I think that's at the root of it, the love for the language.
I have so many questions.
I don't know if we have time for those questions right now. I just dropped. That's why we need to do bonus episodes, because I'll actually tell you what it was that I did on that fateful night while playing strip Scrabble. But for now, just use your imagination. Well, see, the one problem about me is that I always remember when I drink. Like, I've only really browned out one time, and some people like told me like, oh yeah, this happened, but I only lost a small amount of time. Like, I really remember everything when I drink. So I mean, y'all don't want to drink with me because I remember what you said. But anyway, yeah, it was Scrabble for me. It was definitely Uno for me, big time. Monopoly as an adult, that might fuck up a relationship. So yeah.
No, I agree with you 100%. There are certain games that I will actually refuse to play. I am not super competitive with games. I'm the most nonchalant person.
Ew, you the type of person I don't like to play games with.
I don't take, like, if you're playing a game with me, know that I'm not taking you serious at all. And the more, controlling you are, the more I'm just probably going to laugh at you. And I'm a funner, play for fun kind of guy. So with that, there are certain games that I will refuse to play unless I'm playing with certain people, because they tend to bring the dark side out of people. And Spades is top on that list. I think for any person that plays Spades, Spades is top on that list. Like, if you are playing Spades, that's the one game that's not really a game. For some reason, it's just, Spades is not a game. It's kind of like a rite of passage for people, or it's an evaluation of how real of a person you are. Like, Spades is the hood's psychological evaluation. You will get diagnosed off of some Spades. So
but Spades is not even fun. Spades is not fun.
Is it? So, I think that's, I enjoy.
It's not fun.
I enjoy the game. I enjoy, like, Spades. I enjoy poker, which I'm still kind of learning how to play. Now that I live in Texas, I'm trying to learn Texas Hold'em poker. But I enjoy that. But yeah, any type of game that is Spades or anything that you would find in a casino, I love those games, but I will not play them with just anybody. Like, I got to play them with people that just want to have fun, that just want to crack jokes and stuff like that.
Well, I would say, let me stop you right there, Rob, because that's a certain, I feel like you are projecting your type of fun onto other people, because when I play games and I'm competitive, I am having fun. Like, to you feel like if you're being aggressive, like you're not having fun. But I don't know. I still really enjoy.
No, that's a fact. I want to have fun with the people that I want to have the same type of fun. I mean, if you're like, think about it. If you're the only person in the room, Shannon, and everybody is like me, and you're just being your competitive, aggressive self, and nobody's really like feeding into that or like laughing at you because of that and not taking you serious, you're not really going to have fun. But when you're in the room with somebody else that's also competitive, that also is that way to have fun, then you're going to have even more fun with that person. You know, so.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I just think that it's like the way you're describing it, you can tell you don't like people who find being competitive fun. Like, you're like feeding into it. It's like, it's not feeding into it. It's just how you play the game. Like, it's just interesting. You just have such a distaste for like anybody who like
I'm really that kind of person. Like, when it comes to that, I just be like, but I know because of that, like I'm saying, I know that there are certain games that I just don't participate in people, because we have different ideas of like what would be fun in that moment. So the other game is, you would think that is Uno. I love Uno so much that if it's being played, I'm gonna play it. Uno is like my Achilles heel. If it's being played, I'ma just play it. Now, of course, people do get pretty serious in Uno, but for some reason, Uno just seems like more of a equal weight kind of game. Like, you can only do but
that's so because there's so many rules. Like, that's true.
Yeah.
And there are different, like, the reason why Uno is fun and funny is because everybody grew up playing it like slightly differently. And there are several different like rules that are like flip-flop rules that you can kind of like on the box, it says you could do it this way or you can do it that way. But just trying to see how like everybody's playing, like, are we doing stacks? Are we doing numbers? Like, what are we doing? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's fun. And it is kind of a game of chance because I mean, but all card games are, I mean, they're strategy, but they're also kind of like the luck of the draw, literally what you get. So I feel like it's kind of similar. Mm-hmm. That's probably why you like Uno. But I like to just crush everybody. I like there to be a lot of people at the table. I like people to, you know, I like to be out first. Like, you know, I like shit like that. But I mean, winning is fun to me. It isn't fun to lose. I am going to say that. So I just prefer to win above all. It really doesn't matter what game I'm playing. I just don't want to lose, you know? So.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we got some games prepared today. And I know that you have a couple on your screen, so I'm interested to see what you got prepared for us.
Yeah, okay. So this first game is kind of like an icebreaker game.
Hold on. Before you start, I just want to make sure there is no Lateith Stanfield on any of these games, Shannon.
Well, first of all, I don't even know who Lateith Stanfield is Lateef. Because I'm pretty sure his name is Lakeith Stanfield.
Lakeith.
And Lakeith is not on the list. You obviously banished him. I don't really like him. Honestly, Rob, I kid you not, I thought that you liked him, but let's move forward. I have some other.
Bro, absolutely not.
Ever since I thought that you had liked him.
And you have brought him up for like wearing stockings or something, he has literally lived in the bridge ever since that day.
First of all, when I brought it up, it wasn't really about him. It was more about, you know, like masculine, feminine standards and stuff like that. But it's just like, I don't know. I thought that you liked him. Moving forward, he's not on any of these lists, but I will let you add two people to the list because I know how you get. I also added somebody. I added some people that I know that you like. So hopefully, you know.
With Kelly Rowland on there?
Yes. She was number one, baby. But she's going to be in our next game. So let's go ahead and get into the first game. Okay, so this game is called But Make It Black. Okay, so what we're doing is the object of the game is to name the African American or Ebonics version of these words / phrases. Okay, so I'm gonna give you the regular American bland phrase. And I need you to give me the Black vernacular version of that, okay? As close as you're going to get. And I'll tell you if the judges are going to accept your answer or not.
I'm here for this 1,000%.
Yes, this is going to be fun. Okay, are you ready for it? But Make It Black?
I'm ready.
Okay. So, first phrase, But Make It Black. You look very nice today. What do Black people say when they're trying to tell somebody that they look really, really nice? They look really, really good. How do you think a Black person might say this?
Come on, shoes. Let's go, eyelashes. Come on, cheekbone. I see you. Yes, you did that. You did that.
The judges will be taking all of those. The judges also have. Where you think you going? Because as you know, what you think you cute? I guess you think you cute. We love to ask a good question. Like, oh, excuse me, where you think you going? So all of those, will be accepted.
Don't require it.
But okay, good. So you're doing good. Okay, here is our next selection. Mm-hmm. give me the Black way of saying, no, thank you. I'm also going to expand that sentence to say, no, thank you. We're okay. No, thank you. We don't want any of that. So this is a lesson in Black vernacular.
How would we say that? We would say, I don't know about that one.
Okay, you said, I don't know about that one.
Yeah, or the infamous, okay.
So it's not necessarily you don't like something. It's more like you're telling somebody, no, thank you. You may not want any more of something, or you may not want something. Not necessarily that you don't like it. Like you're trying to tell somebody like, I'm okay. Like, thank you. I'm okay. What would be a way of saying like, thank you, I'm okay. Or thank you, but no thank you type thing.
Okay. So if we're not talking about like preferences, like food, like I don't want that. I guess you would just say I'm good.
Exactly. Ding, ding, ding. You would say we good, we straight. We are also taking we straight. Okay. If you good off of something, you good. Not I am good, you good, we good, right? Okay, the next one. Okay, so the next one is a little bit more you don't like something, right? Like if you're trying to tell somebody like, I don't really support your decision, or I don't like the choice that you made, but I support you. If you're trying to tell somebody like, I don't like what you did there, but I support you anyway. How might you say that?
Oh, that's a good one. That is a good one. I don't like what you did, but I still support you.
It might be a friend. It might be somebody on the internet. You don't want to give negative vibes. So you're not going to say you don't like it, but you might say this other phrase or another phrase.
I might go with, that's cool. I might go with, that's cool.
We'll take that's cool. That's a tough one. We'll take that's cool.
I'm going to have to go with, that's cool. Yeah.
That's cool. Definitely, definitely. I feel like, you know, I don't know who came up with cool story, bro, but I feel like that's cool is the Black version of cool story, bro.
Shout out to Cool Story Bro. I was obsessed with that term for a very long time.
And it's hella rude.
It definitely
is. It's hella rude.
Cool Story Bro is the Black vernacular of the previously Black vernacular per my last email. But it just it just applies it to a more social and informal situation.
Okay. Now, what I put down for this particular one was, if you like it, I love it. That's what I put. because, you know, it's like,
okay, that one, yes, that's a good one. Yeah.
If you like it, I love it. It's basically saying like, I support you. I don't support what you like, but I support you.
It feels too like you like, if you like it, I love it. It's kind of like, I don't know. It feels more to me like, I'm not very interested in what you're doing, but if you're excited about it, then, oh, if you like it, I love it. Like, it doesn't mean anything to me, but if that's your thing, your thing.
We'll take that.
More like, yeah, we kind of still, like, I don't have any feelings about what you're doing, and I don't know why it's that big of a deal to you, but if you like it, I love it.
I feel that. I see. I use if you like it, I love it to say like, my opinion may differ, but we gonna agree to disagree. If you like it, I love it. That's kind of how I use it.
Oh, and I think that too, we gonna agree to disagree.
We just gonna agree to disagree.
We had that. That one.
Wait, is that black?
That one right there.
Everybody says that. Over. Do you think so?
Nah, I think that the way, like, we hit it harder than anybody else. Like,
yo.
Yeah, I think.
I feel like it's the way in which we say it.
Yeah, especially if it's a situation where it's like, I don't agree with what you're doing, but I suppose you're just like, all right, well, I guess we're going to agree to disagree.
It's the way you say it. It's like, we just going to agree to disagree then. But it's also, there's also like a little aggressiveness behind, because
it has to have a little bit of salt on it. Just a little bit of salt.
A little bit of salt, because it's definitely like, mm-hmm. I'm going to never agree with you. But at the same time, we can't argue about this forever. There's just not enough time in the world. So we just going to agree to disagree. Okay. Yo, that's a cute one.
Let's do a contest for people who can like count how many times you and I have said we're going to agree to disagree on any episode.
Me and you, probably not a lot of times. It's not like we heavily disagree on a lot.
We're gonna agree to this. No, let me stop.
Honestly, probably on the episodes with other people.
That's FYI, y'all. We're not gonna make that a contest because ain't nobody about to go back and listen to every episode of The Bridge. If you haven't heard, we're on season 2 and we still running strong. So, but we're not about to go and audit all of the episodes in season 1 and season 2. That's not gonna happen.
I mean, I'm not going to do it, but y'all can, if like only if you haven't actually listened to it. I mean, you know, you might learn something, you might laugh a little bit, and you'll definitely see our growth and progression. Okay, so I have a couple more. And let's keep going with But Make It Black. Okay, what is the black way to say like, is this statement true, or like, I just heard something crazy, but like, it doesn't sound like it's true. I'm shocked and appalled by the information that I have just received. Or I know who everybody is talking about, but I'm gonna pretend like I don't know what I'm talking about. So it's kind of like, how do I describe this? Right.
Yeah, give me an example. Like
okay, so let me give you a real world example. So if somebody were to be like what would you say if you were like shocked? If you're shocked at something.
If I was shocked at something that I heard about, I guess it would depend on what I'm shocked about. Like if I had information that I was about to share with someone
tea.
About
if
something
you had
that
some
I was
tea
that I heard,
yes, it was some shocking tea.
Yeah, if it was like that, I'd be like, so I had heard that, or I had heard that. Is going to go up in there. Let me tell you what happened. Like, that's going to go in there. While I'm telling this story, there's going to be certain, like, plugins to let you know that I'm really shocked. Like, if you hear me say, mind you.
Mind you.
That means that I didn't
find out. The story, right. The story's about to go off.
Or in the midway into the story, I'm be like, wait, but I ain't even tell you.
Hilarious. So like hilarious.
The way that I deliver it. Now, if I'm hearing it, if I'm receiving, I'm be like, stop playing. Like, you dead ass. Like, ain't no way. Ain't no way.
Okay. We'll take ain't dead no ass. Way. We'll take dead yeah. ass. Ain't no way. We'll take ain't no way. We'll also take, who said that? That's what I was looking for. Who said that? Who you know, Portia said that. I think it was somebody, and I actually feel like she got kicked off the show. What?
What? She got kicked off the show.
So I think
hear that, I just be laughing at that scene, that one particular scene. That, and the funny thing
and
is
I'm talking about the scene.
She the one that said it.
She said it. And that's what I was saying. Like, she said it. But yeah. Well, it was her talking to somebody else. And I think that Phaedra actually got kicked off the show for saying that. But she was like, who said that? But she knew who said it. She didn't say it, but she knew who said it. But anyway, okay. Here's another one. And we actually talked about this. This is like kind of something you might say in email. Now, we got to get the vernacular, non-professional version of that. Because you don't put this in an email, y'all. What is like a vernacular way? And this is like a newer one, actually, that's popular. Saying like, I'll circle back to you. I'll circle back to it. I'll circle back to a thing, a task, a person.
I'll get to it when I get to it.
Okay. All right. Okay. We'll take that. The judges were actually looking for, I'm going to spin the block. That is a newer catchphrase that has caught on in the Black community. I'm going to spin the block. Okay. Now, spinning the block really originated from I really feel like drive-by shootings, but now people are kind of using it like you would use I'll circle back to you. Or I'll circle back to it. People are using I'm going to spin the block for that. And it's hilarious. So yeah, little updated 2023 vernacular for you. Okay, now this is like something I know my mom used to always, you know, be very creative with the way that she would say, like, I've told you too many times, right? What is it like a Black way of saying I've told you too many times to do something?
Didn't I just tell you that? How many times I got to tell you that? How many times? Why didn't I just say
and
that?
And that's a question, too. That's a question, too.
Oh, yeah. Anytime that I have to repeat myself multiple times is going to come in the form of a question. Because I don't know why you ain't get it the first couple of times.
But also, like, okay, like, if there was a number that you had to give, like a Black way of giving, like, I've told you blank number of times. This number can be made up or arbitrary, and it usually is. What's like a random number that you might think a Black person might say?
Oh, umpteen. Umpteen is the random Black number. Umpteen.
First of all, umpteen is not Black.
We got Nuff. We got... there's like one that's obvious and it's like in my head, but I can't grab it.
First of all, I don't know umpteen. I think umpteen is regular. I don't think that's actually, umpteen is not Black. That's just regular. That's like from like Alice in Wonderland or something. That's like the first time I ever heard it. But I was looking for 511 times, which is not a real number.
That's the one.
511 times.
Yeah,
50, my 11, mom.
That's what I was thinking of.
My mom used to say, "I told you 29 times." I don't know why she said 29, but 29 was her number. And I wondered, like, do other people's parents like choose random numbers and then say those numbers all the time? Because my mom's number was 29.
I don't know. I didn't get that solidified number experience. I definitely got 511. Definitely got 511 though.
Okay, I got two more. One for food. What's a Black way of saying this food is really good? This food is really, really good. I'm really enjoying this food. What are some Black ways of saying that?
The food slaps. The food slaps, or if it's really good, we just give you that gesture with the fork and we just and shake our head on that while we're chewing.
Because you're nodding in agreement. Yes, I get that. slaps.
If it's mad, we'll take slaps. You can't stop eating it. You'll get that.
I feel like these things are regional, though, because slaps is not something that I generally say, but we will say hitting. We will say bussing. This food bussing, this food hitting. I'll usually say this food hitting. most likely. And then the last one that I have is I feel like this is one of the easiest ones. What is a Black way of saying, like, I've eaten a lot of food and now I'm sleepy?
You got the itis.
I got the itis. Bam. Ding, ding, ding. The only way. The itis, if you did not know, the itis is a disease. It's a made up imaginary disease that you get when you eat too much food, namely at like Thanksgiving, Christmas, any type of holiday. And you got to go to sleep. All right. You feeling real sleepy and you're feeling very lethargic, very sluggish. Okay. You got the itis and you got it bad. So yeah, that was But Make It Black. I hope y'all like that game. Lit. Okay. Do you want to continue with, do you want to do MASH? Or do you want to go ahead to the mental health segment?
Damn, I really, 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 really want to do MASH.
Well, I feel like MASH is going to be really quick because there's only two of us and I already have the categories. You just got to pick a number. So we can move on to MASH if you like. All right, cool. Let's jump into MASH. Now, MASH is, if you're not aware, MASH is a game that we used to play as children, and it kind of was like a little mini manifestation situation where we really were trying to set ourselves up for life. MASH stands for mansion, apartment, shack, and house. And those are kind of like your choices for living, but I kind of like beefed up the choices for the living situation. So we're not going to be doing the regular MASH. This is MASH adult version. So let's get into it. And hopefully we get some good people. Okay. You do get to add somebody to the list, Rob, if you'd like to, for partners, for life partners, but I do have Kelly Rowland on there. So let's hope we get her. Okay. And let's get started. We're going to use the random number generator, and it's going to tell us what number you're going to get. Because as a child, I remember there were different ways to do it, but we really kind of like secretly draw a circle. And whenever they said stop, we would do the rings. Yeah. We would count the rings. Yeah, we would count the rings. So this is the adult version of ring counting. We're just going to use a random number generator via Google. So let's see what Rob's number is. Oh, you got my favorite number. Number 7. You got my favorite number. Okay. So.
Go sevens.
Let's go into where Rob is going to live in our MASH game.
Are we picking or is it just random?
Well, I have to count. So the list, there's a list. And I have to count to 7 on the list. And whatever it lands on is what you get. Just, we're going to count to 7.
Gotcha.
Okay. So here we go. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Rob, it looks like you have landed in a deluxe condo. We like that. You're in a deluxe condo. That's good.
I actually really do want to live in a condo. I've been thinking about stuff like that lately. You know, 35 shit. You start thinking about your life. And I actually do want a condo. So shout out to MASH. We're going to manifest it. Remember when you had a good MASH and you kept that in your book bag? Like,
and you would just keep it because it was. But you know, the thing is that that's really how manifestation works. You write it down, you say it aloud, and you really make it happen. And little did we know as young children that we were manifesting our lives. So right now you're manifesting this deluxe condo that you want, and it's coming towards you. So the next thing we're going to go into is who's going to be your life partner, who's gonna help you pay the bills and, you know, support you and be somebody that you can count on and rely on. Let's see, let's count this list. Here we go.
Who we got on the list? Who you got on the list?
All right, so we have Kelly Rowland, we have Jonathan Majors. Yes, Jonathan Majors. We have Michael B. Jordan. We also have Lori Harvey. She's hot now. We have Tiana Taylor. We have Zendaya. We have, yes, Kofi. What's that actor's name? Kofi Dennis?
I think it's like Kofi Annan or something.
I don't know what his last name is. And then we have Omari. What's his name? Omari Hardwick. And I don't know. Add some other people. Who you want? I was grasping. I really don't be liking celebrities like that, to be honest.
Honorable mention. I need Nia Long on that list. Either Nia Long or Sanaa Lathan, one of the two. I'll let you pick.
All right. Is there any other person that floats your boat that you want on this life partner list? This will be your partner for life.
We got to put Frank Ocean on there. Frankie Ocean. Although I think he lives overseas now. But oh well, I'll move over there. That's fine.
Come on, commute. I mean, not commute, relocate. Right?
I think we got them all. I love Nia Long, like, so much.
Okay, I'll put Nia and Sanaa on there for you. Okay, so let's see who you got. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Your life partner is going to be Zendaya. So I guess you're going to take her away from Tom. Your life with her. You're going to get ready to be on the red carpet. You're going to probably have to hold her dress, maybe. But she's fabulous.
I'm here for it.
So, I mean, I wouldn't complain. We love Zendaya. Okay, let's go into the next category for MASH. What kind of whip you going to be riding in? I wrote these whips, but I'm not really a big car person. So you can add a couple cars to your dream car in there.
I am
as
a big car person, y'all.
Okay, so what cars you want on the list, Rob?
I definitely want to put a Camaro. I got to have a Camaro.
How did I know you was going to say a Camaro? It's already on there. An American classic muscle car.
I love a good Camaro. I will put a Lamborghini. No, that's not really my style. That's too much. I'll put a Maserati on there. And I will put...
Maserati's already on there.
You know me. Ooh.
Yeah, I'm just going to do a random count. I'm going to count backwards this time.
And my last car is a Jeep Wrangler. A brand new one.
Jeep Wrangler.
Okay. I want that one.
Yeah. All right, a Jeep Wrangler. All right, it's time to find out what car you're going to be whipping to your deluxe condo with Zendaya. So, unfortunately, you're going to be whipping a Ford Fusion, which is actually a great car. It's the car I have, but with Zendaya, that might be problematic. Or maybe she might like it. Maybe she'll think it's like incognito, and like, you know, the paparazzi won't even suspect that she would be.
I cannot drive her to an event in a Ford Fusion. Knock it off.
All right. Well, you made it this far and you bagged Zendaya, so I'm sure you can trade in that car and get another one. And let's go to the last category. This is career. Okay, here we go. All right. Here are the career choices. You got entrepreneur, public figure, politician, therapist, entertainer, stay-at-home parent, or what is this last one I have down here? Oh, shit. I put a scammer. Okay. Well, Okay, do you want me to count forward or backwards on the list? I'm gonna mix the list up a little bit first, but do you want me to count forwards or backwards on the list?
However,
forward.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna switch some of these up a little bit. Hold on. All right, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh shit, you gonna be a scammer. And that's how you got Zendaya. That's obviously how you bag Zendaya. You're a whole scammer. Yeah, that makes sense. And you probably have to have an incognito card.
Wait a minute, why that gotta make sense? I can't bag Zendaya regularly. She said, yeah, you're a scammer.
Well, you can't bag Zendaya with a Ford Fusion, but if you maybe finesse and rent a car or something, and maybe the Ford Fusion is your real car, because you're a scammer, you probably are pushing, like, you know what I'm saying, a Maserati is just not yours. So that's
doing
the
wonders
end
for my self-esteem here.
Yo. So that's the end of MASH. I'm obviously not gonna do myself because I would rig it for me. So let's cut it there. And thank you for participating.
No, I don't like this. I don't like this.
Thank you for manifesting. You
can look, do it old school. I can get a pen and pencil.
Throw this MASH out. This is just not a MASH that you keep in your notebook. This is one that you definitely throw in the trash. And you try again, but not today. So thank you for keep her playing our way back game. And I'm going to cut it to Rob on mental health in society. He should.
Okay, so we actually...
Okay, I thought you was mad.
Oh, I'll start over. What were you going to say?
No, I thought you was mad.
Say? I'm going... Just know that the next time I am... Next time the way back is mine, you're getting mashed. And it's getting hand...
That's
old
a game of actually. That's a game. That was a game of chance. But okay, yeah, sure. Go ahead.
We're gonna throw your luck out there.
Go ahead, Rob.
Okay, guys. So we're actually not gonna pivot too far from our game theory today. We're gonna talk about social media tactics and gambling psychology.
Chance. After this, there is no turning back. All I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
So I don't know if you noticed that within the past, I want to say year, not even year, it's been maybe like 6 months, all of social media got a upgrade in the way that they were packaged. And one of the strategies that they've been using now is a lot of gambling psychology strategies. So those are kind of your things that are related to like having hot streaks, or rolling the dice and taking chance on certain things. The infinite scrolling is also a gambling tactic. Flashes of colors and like the burst animations and things like that. All of those are gambling psychology. And the reason why they, the reason why they're used is to get the user hooked on the game or hooked on the app so that they spend more time there, so that they, in gambling, spend more money. But in the case of social media, spending more time on the app, you guys know, translates to sales and ad revenue, essentially. And so I wanted to first start off with, I guess, asking you, how do you feel like your social media usage is? Like, do you feel like you overuse it? Do you notice that it kind of makes you feel weird when you're kind of doing it too much? Are some social medias for you better than others? How you feeling?
Well, I definitely overuse social media, and this is kind of circumstantial because I run the social media at my job. So I do social media for work. I run the social media of The Bridge. I run the social media of Black on the Moon TV, which now I've actually delegated, and I kind of pushed that on Blake because I was on social media too much. And then I create content pretty much every day because I get paid for Reels now. So it's just kind of like, you know, it's an incentive because I want you know, a little bit. I want a little bit of cash. And it's cute. You know, it's cute to do something that you kind of would do anyway. You would kind of post anyway, but be paid for it, you know. And I'm like a micro influencer, but, you know, they're cutting the check for me every month. So, you know, people are engaged, but I do have to take breaks from it. It's kind of like, you know, it's the same kind of thing that YouTube. It's like you can go down these rabbit holes and half your damn day is gone. I don't think it's healthy to be on social media all the time if all you're doing is kind of like consuming, right? I think it's important to have balance and put positive things out there just like you would in the world. And I don't think that social media is really that different from life in that way, but I do think that it can take you away from real life. So you got to be careful about that. But I'm big on balance. And even if you do social media for your job, it's important that you have times where you're not on it. And sometimes as adults, we have to like designate those times. Like, I'm only going to use social media during this hour and this hour, these hours of the day, just like we regulate our diet, just like we work out at certain times. I do think social media should be something that is used in moderation. But that whole gambling thing is hella interesting because literally now when I post something, you know, it'll say like you're on a creative streak or something like that. Yeah. And it's like, oh shit. I didn't even notice that. But it's like a reward, you know, they're rewarding you for being on the app. And in turn, you're on the app more. So it makes a lot of sense.
100%. And that concept of using these strategies to reward you actually plays on the reward since the reward center of your brain, which is your dopamine. And one of the reasons why people opt for social media breaks, which whether we realize it or not, is that we need to take that time to reset our dopamine levels. When your dopamine kind of spins out of control and becomes, you associate this feeling of a natural high or a reward with a particular activity, that's how you develop certain levels of addiction. For example, social media addiction or gambling addiction or any other type of addiction, they all play on your social media centers of your brain. And I recently decided that I was going to take a kind of a social media break, but it was a different way of taking the break. I wasn't like absent from, well, Instagram really, because y'all know I don't really, the only place I be active really is on Instagram. And similar to you is because, you know, we get paid to be on the app. So, but what I decided to do was do some strategies to give myself a dopamine reset. And I didn't think it was going to be effective, but it actually worked. So I want to share this with you guys. It was honestly something I just did for like maybe 3 days and I felt like totally different. So your dopamine reset is going to retrain your body not to attach this reward system to whatever you're doing. And in this case, it would be social media. And it's always great to kind of take a break, uninstall it from your phone, do what you need to do. But I found that scientifically, one of the biggest strategies that's used to hook your dopamine in terms of gambling psychology is color. So what I did was I left my phone in black and white for 3 days. And I just used my phone in black and white, and that was extremely helpful. Another thing that I did was I took all of the icons off of my home screen, and I only had like my bottom row, like my home row. So that was really helpful. Actually, I can show you. Hold on to me. So this is what my screen looks like for my iPhone. And just trying to utilize other features and other ways to access necessary information, it really helped me so much, y'all. Like, I felt like it was a breath of fresh air. I will say it was a little weird to watch videos in black and white, but over time I started to like it. It felt very, like, it just felt like I was watching a video versus like I'm immersed into the video, if that makes sense. Like, sometimes when we're watching something or we binge watch it, we really feel like we're in the quote unquote zone. But I was able to like not feel like I had to catch every single frame. Like, if I put the phone down and I'm doing something, I'm okay with that. I don't need to rewind it to go see what happened, kind of thing. So that was really help. And that scientifically, that's just a really good strategy to kind of incorporate into your social media breaks. I know that they're becoming more and more popular and more important than ever. Some of the bad or negative side effects of gambling psychology and how gambling affects your mental health is that prolonged exposure. When you have your dopamine constantly responding to social media, when you unplug, it can feel like a very much like a withdrawal kind of thing, where you can feel low self-esteem, stress, anxiety, depression, just random moodiness, sadness, and things like that. So it's always good to have that opportunity to reset. And I will also say that the kind of like, in terms of content creators, I think that there's like a shift in terms of what style content is being made to not be as commercialized, I guess is the word, to be a little bit more human, in the idea that if you are going to be immersed in some type of social media content, you should be immersed in something that reflects the real world. And I'll let you guys know that that still actually is bad for you in terms of spiking your dopamine levels. So don't be afraid to take that social media break when you need it. Don't be afraid to switch up your content. And for those of us who are brands or business owners, content creators, don't be afraid to have a voice on your page, kind of like whatever you're doing, make it fun to you just for the sake of you creating it versus constantly looking for that feedback. So yeah, that's what I got today for mental health and society. Do you have any favorite social medias, Shannon?
You mean like platforms?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Instagram, hands down. You know, and I think our mainly our pocket of like our age pocket really loves Instagram. I remember when Instagram kind of came to be, I was just getting out of college. We were just considering ourselves real adults. It was, to me, the first platform that just kind of made sense, because I felt like people on Facebook were always writing letters and I just did not feel like I had time to read those. And then I felt like on Twitter, I felt like too many people thought the things that they were saying were important and they weren't. And it was annoying, you know, and it's like, ew, kind of toxic, like hearing the every thought of, you know, people you barely know. I didn't like consuming other people's thoughts. It did not make me feel good. So that's kind of why I don't thrive on Twitter. But Instagram, you know, it was about aesthetics, especially at first. So I was like, okay, you know, let the photo speak, let the video speak or whatever that is, and do a cute caption. Like, and then of course, because of the competition of other apps, it's expanded its capabilities, but I've kind of really just kind of gone hard on Instagram because I feel like it has the best of all the worlds of all of the apps. And it still feels young. Facebook just doesn't feel young anymore because Facebook wasn't actually built for our generation. We were still in high school when it came to be, and it was for college age people. So it really wasn't for us. So Instagram was built for us. And I think that's why, you know, we kind of gravitate to it. But I think the whole putting your phone in black and white, first of all, I didn't even know you could do that. So I might try it. It might creep me out, but I think I'm gonna try it. And I just like that. And it seems like because the real world isn't black and white, it will kind of give you that separation that you need sometimes.
It does. It really does. I started kind of craving that color, but then I would just go outside and just actually appreciate the color around me. Yeah.
Old school style.
Like I would just appreciate the color around me. Like, okay, well, you know, and it just made my physical environment more interesting. Whereas before, and I think a lot of us can relate to this, that our online environment tends to be more interesting. It's designed to be more interesting. So taking out the color from it was cool. I went into my accessibility settings on my phone. And there's something in your accessibility settings on display or vision or whatever it is. And you can do it. Or also just look it up, because that's what I did. I looked up how to do it with my phone. So yeah, black and white. And I just did it for 3 days and it was real. The first day was weird, but after a while I started to like it, to the point where now, even though I, on my phone, I do now have it back in color, I'll still put it in black and white every now and then. And I won't put icons back on my home screen because it just feels nice to not have that busyness up there. And I customize my icons to be black and white on my home screen, even if the phone is in color. So it helps a lot. So I just wanted to share that with you guys, your little quick dopamine reset for your whatever day of the week you're listening to this, for your Tuesday afternoon or whatever you're doing. Just add that into your rotation of your social media break.
Okay, I love that. Reset your dopamine by stepping into the 1950s. We love it. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Rob. I mean, just keep it simple. That's the message that I hear. Let's just go back to basics. Okay. So here's to going back to basics. And thank you for that mental health and society segment, Rob. So we're going to take it to vital information, where we're going to talk a little bit about play and why it's important, right? Why are we even having a game night? Why is it important for us as adults to play? And I got this information from helpguide.org. So let's get into vital information.
And now, more vital information for your everyday life.
All right, so most of us know that children need to play in order to explore socialization, life skills, and creativity on their own. That's a given. But as adults, we often do not prioritize our playtime. So we'll schedule things for work. We'll schedule things for our businesses, but we don't always schedule time to socialize and just to have fun with our friends and our families and or our pets. And that's really important. And if you find yourself not able to take the time, then schedule the time like you would schedule anything else. So I have 8 benefits of adult play. So benefit number 1, adult play helps relieve stress. Okay. We talked about endorphins before, but playing can help increase your endorphins. They make you feel happy. You know, playing with your friends and your family can help ward off depression, especially in seasons like winter, where, you know, you can have like a seasonal depression situation. You know, surround yourself with family and friends and have like a game night, or, you know, just have a movie night or something. It's going to relieve stress. We have improves brain function. So we were just talking about puzzles, different things that we did as a child, games like Scrabble, things that really make your brain work. Okay. These brain games can still help your brain improve function and keep your brain sharp and fresh, you know, exercising your brain. Those little games you play on your phone, they have apps for that, like apps that have brain games to keep you engaged and to keep your mind sharp. So check some of those out. I have a few on my phone. Number 3, boost creativity. Okay. You're going to find yourself better equipped to start a new task if you're feeling relaxed, and play can help you feel relaxed, right? As opposed to stressed. So, playing as an adult can help boost your creativity and make you more productive. So work less. This is what we're trying to tell everybody. This is the point that we're trying to get across. Millennials, we are really trying to like drive this home. Work less. Also, I saw an article in the UK about how for the UK, the 4-day weekend is kind of like, for a lot of businesses, is kind of now solidified because people are more productive. And I mean, I wholeheartedly agree. So yeah, let's just think about that, America. Number 4, improve your relationships and your connection to others. When you share laughter and fun with your friends, you can foster so many good things like empathy, compassion, trust, intimacy. And it doesn't have to include a specific activity. Play can also be a state of mind, like, you know, just being able to be playful with your friends and having a moment and having those friends where they just give you that gut buster laugh and you have those moments. Those are like, you know, some of the richest, most wealthy moments that you can hold on to anyway. So Yeah, I mean, developing a playful nature can help you loosen up in stressful situations in like the real world. It can help you break the ice with strangers and make new friends and form new business relationships. So think about being a little bit more playful. Number five, it can keep you feeling young and energetic. I mean, this is self-explanatory. In the words of George Bernard Shaw, we don't stop playing because we grow old. We grow old because we stop playing. Play can literally boost your energy and your vitality and even improve your resistance to disease, helping you function at your best, right? So the younger that you act as far as play and being playful, the younger that you feel and the younger you'll literally be. It is, there's a chain effect, and I think that's so cool. Number six. Play helps develop and improve social skills. We kind of talked about this, but everybody doesn't have social skills, okay? And like one of the, I think, improving your relationship and connection to others, this is pretty similar to that, but social skills are learned as part of the give and take of play. And so during childhood play, kids learn about verbal communication, body language, boundaries, cooperation, and teamwork. Which is why I love to play games where you can play in teams. Actually, those are my favorite type of games. But as adults, you can continue to refine these skills. You can always learn something. You can always improve upon the skills that you have. You can do that through play and through playful communication. Number seven, play teaches cooperation with others. Play is a powerful catalyst for positive socialization. So, when kids play, they learn how to quote unquote play nicely with others. Okay. We need that same thing as adults. You know, we all know that person at our job that does not play nicely with others. You know, we know all that friend of ours that we have that does not play nicely to others. It is practice to socialize in groups, right? Cause they're kind of like, you can follow mutually agreed upon rules. You know, you can continue to use play as an adult to break down the barriers of your relationships and improve your relationships with others. And number eight, and this is really fucking cool. Play can heal emotional wounds, right? As adults, when you play together, you're engaging in exactly the same patterns of behavior that positively shape the brains of children. So these same playful behaviors that predict emotional health in children can also lead to positive changes in adults. If an emotionally insecure individual plays with a secure partner, for example, it can help replace negative beliefs and behaviors with positive assumptions and actions. And that actually goes back to our last episode where we talked about kink and how we deserve that type of play. This is the same thing. This can be sexual play. This can be game night. This can be having a playful attitude towards anything. And I think in conclusion, y'all need to stop taking everything so seriously, okay? It's making you sick, all right? So that's what I have for vital information today.
That was pretty dope. I appreciate that little tidbit. And yeah, make sure that y'all get out there, play, use your imagination, feel that feeling of nostalgia because, you know, it's healing. It's real therapeutic. Okay. So with that being said, Shan, what you got for us for Red Light District?
I want to be touched and feel it so much because everybody needs some good.
All right, so Red Light District is going to be the last game that we're going to play. And this is going to be a different type of game. We're both going to engage in this game so we can both give our answers and, you know, have a little mini discussion. So if you remember, the childhood games are what we're going for. So the Red Light District today is going to be like a game of red light, green light.
Okay. I see what you did there. Clever, clever.
So, as a child, we played, or as children, we played red light, green light. And, or if you didn't, I did as a child. And, you know, it's a simple game. you run towards a person and you indicate whether, you know, it's red light, green light, or yellow light. If it's a red light, that just means you stop. If there's a green light, that means you go. And if there's a yellow light, that means you slow down, but you can still go. Though we know as adults, yellow lights mean speed the fuck up. Because okay. You're about to miss the light, baby.
Drive safe, y'all. Drive safe.
Yes. Now, I want you to liken these lights to flags, right? So instead of red light, green light, this is going to be red flag, green flag, okay? So these are going to be red flag, green flags, and possible yellow flags in budding relationships, okay? When you meet someone and when you are in the talking phases, and even when you're in, you know, the beginning of a relationship phase, you're always looking for green flags and red flags to give you the signal of whether you should go forth in the relationship and prosper, stop it right where it is, or maybe slow down a little bit. So I have a list, and I want to know your thoughts, because everyone's red flags, green flags, and yellow flags are different, you know? Mm-hmm. And I would like to get a little taste of what yours would be. So let's get into the first flag. Number one, sex on the first date / encounter. Is this a red flag, green flag, or a yellow flag for you?
This is a green flag for me. I'm very comfortable with intimacy on the first date. I don't see anything wrong with it.
You know, I'm kind of torn because I was never one. There are people who believe, and I do think it's true in a lot of situations, that, you know, sex can cloud your judgment about a person. And I do believe that. So I would say that sex on the first date / an encounter is something that I've done plenty of times. And I don't always do it, but I would say it's a yellow flag for me. It really depends. If the connection is there, it's like you. And you described yours as a green flag, though I feel like we're on a one accord. It would never be my mission to, you know, fuck on the first date or have sex with a person that I just met. But if it goes there, then it goes there, and it has, and I'm okay with it as long as it's consensual, obviously. But I would say it's a yellow flag. I'm not sure. I'm riding the fence because I'm like in a space where I'm like, well, you know, maybe getting to know somebody on a friend basis without sex is actually the best option right now. So yeah, I'm going to yellow flag that. Okay, let's go on to the next one. So the next one is, you just met somebody and you're really feeling them, but they just got out of a serious relationship, like 3 months or less. Is that a red flag, a green flag, or a yellow flag?
The fact that they got out of the relationship is not a problem. So I would say that that's a green flag. But if they're constantly talking about the relationship that they got out of, or they're still obviously dealing with emotions from that old relationship, then we got to bump it down to a yellow flag for me. But if you're, I mean, the rule of thumb is that if you can tell somebody just got out of a relationship, you know, if they're ready for a relationship, whether they broke up the other day, you shouldn't really be able to tell that they just got out of a relationship. And sometimes that's the case. So not everybody that's fresh out the relationship are in that emotional space or unable to deal with new concepts and new ideas in a relationship. So that's why if I can tell, it's going to be yellow. But if it's something I can't tell, or I would never know unless I ask, then it'll be green for me.
I'm going to say that it wouldn't deter me from pursuing a relationship with someone, or at least getting to know someone. So I would say green flag. However, if, you know, because I'm always going to ask about your previous relationships, if I feel like you did not learn anything from the relationship, like if it's very much so like, I don't know why we are not together, I don't know why we broke up, to me, that's actually a red flag, because that just tells me like, okay, if you didn't learn from it, you may not be over it, A, and you may not know what you even needed to learn from or assess the relationship and assess your part in the breakdown of it. So to me, it could, it's a green flag, but it definitely could be a red flag. So yeah, let's move on.
And let me give a quick disclaimer. These are what you're asking me for, the green, red, and yellow flags for me. I would not generally advise these level of flags for everybody. You kind of got to know yourself and what you can do.
Yes.
All right. So anybody that's out there listening, I did not tell you to jump into a relationship with someone who just got out of one, or if you just got out of one. I'm telling you what I can handle, not what I prescribe to others.
Well, this ain't an advice column, so don't come here looking for advice, y'all. We're relating to you. We're your peers. If we decide to do an advice column, then we'll definitely take that shit seriously. But this is just for us, and I just gotta be real because I let a lot of shit slide. Okay, so let's go into the. And sometimes it's I feel like, right, child. But you know, I do also feel like I'm able to let things slide because humans, I feel like it's important to give them grace. We all kind of have something going on all the time. You know what I mean? If you expect somebody to have no baggage, then I mean, it's just like, you might as well date a baby because everybody has baggage, even babies That's when they come fair. Into this world. So, let's move on to the next one. So the next one is interesting. I want to see what this one is going to be for you, but if they're a bad kisser, like if their kissing is like subpar or bad, is that, what flag is that for you?
That is a red flag for me.
Red
flag. I just can't. Now, you said really bad. You ain't got to be great, but if you are, because I've had some, unfortunately, it's a red flag for me.
Same, the kissing, and there, anytime that somebody has kind of been a bad kisser, well, no, that's not true because one of my exes was not a great kisser, but he was great in bed. So it's not always an indicator of that, but it's not pleasant, and it's definitely a red flag for me. And if I can find that out in the very beginning that you're a bad kisser, it will not go any further, just being honest about that. And that's pretty easy. That's a red flag for me. Okay, next. All right, you meet somebody, they're unemployed, but they have goals.
That's a green flag for me. Don't really care about your employment status. Whether you're employed or not, if you don't have goals, that's a problem for me. But being able to envision yourself and set intentions and work towards those, I admire and respect that. And actually, I respect it more for someone who is unemployed or not at the top of their game and they are still having that go-getter mindset. I respect that way, way more than someone who already has it and wants to like amplify what they have.
I agree. I can't, if you have goals, if you're unemployed, unemployed is a temporary situation. That can always change. But if you have goals, if you have skills, especially organization skills, if you have the mindset and the determination and the diligence to make something happen, it's a green flag for me. Conversely, though, what if they're employed? They have a great job, but they're content with their life. They really have no like goals.
I don't think that would work for me because, and it's, I don't think it's anything wrong with that. I'm just a person that I'm a very creative person. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm an artist, and my life is constantly morphing and changing. And so I feel like someone who is ready in that mind space, my life might agitate them a little bit. So I don't want the way that I am to rub someone else the wrong way. So if you're just there, I guess I would, right now where I'm at in my life, that wouldn't really work for me. You know, I want to have a journey with someone, and that journey is about, to me, about growing, setting goals, sharing new experiences, changing together. And I can't see myself with someone who's just not ever going to change again, you know?
I agree. And that's a red flag for me. If you don't have any goals, and trust me, I've literally met people that are like, I don't have any goals. And it's like, okay, you really don't give a fuck. And I like had dated somebody who had a good job, you know, financially he was stable, but like he literally had no goals for himself in life, nothing that he really wanted to do, but to generally just do the same shit that he was doing. And it was the most unattractive shit like ever. So that is a red flag for me as well. And it's boring. Y'all, that's very boring. If you, there's nowhere to go. I mean, think about how boring that is. Think about how boring the relationship might be if you're just content with everything, which leads me to my next one. Subpar sex skills. What if the sex is just okay? Is that a deal breaker for you? Is that a red flag, green flag, or yellow flag?
That is absolutely not an issue for me. The type of sex that I like to have, I find myself in a position to cheat. Not cheat. I find myself in the position to teach. And so it really generally doesn't matter what your sex skills are. When we have sex, I'm introducing you to a new world and teaching you how to enjoy that new world. So for me, it doesn't matter. But I think me being a guy, there is somewhat of a double standard in that, because what exactly would, you know what I mean, a bad sex partner be for someone who is really dominant? Now, if you were really, I guess if you're scary and you're just like, oh my God, I guess that'd be a yellow flag for me. But I've been with people who were not the greatest sex partners and we've had a good time. So
yeah, it's kind of like, for me, if your sex skills are subpar, we can still have good sex because I'm good. And I mean, I never really had anybody that was like bad in bed. I've had some partners that were a lot more giving than others. And I think to me, that's just kind of what it boils down to: being considerate, being intuitive, being in tune with the person that you're having sex with and what they're enjoying and what they're not enjoying. And because I feel like everybody can improve, but it's really, you know, being willing to. It's the willingness that we need. And so I would say subpar sex skills isn't a red flag for me, but it is a yellow flag if they weren't improving. Like I said, wow, it was actually the same person I'm talking about, but the sex skills were subpar. And so coupled with the fact that nothing else in the relationship was working, that was like, you know what I mean? There was a red flag, because it was like, there are so many other red flags that's counted against the person. So it just depends. If this is an amazing person, but the sex skills are subpar, we can fix that. They can grow, like you said. And come on, Rob is on sex education. All right. Like Lloyd said, with his partners. So I love it. Okay. Let's wrap it up. I got a couple more. Is this a red flag for you? Height under 5'6". Under 5'6".
No. No. I don't know. That wouldn't be a deal breaker for me. If someone was significantly taller than me, that would probably be a red flag. It makes me feel small. I don't like it.
Well, that's the next one. So for me,
oh, yeah,
under five six, we're not dating. I'm not dating you because I'm 5'6". I don't want to be seeing eye to eye. I wear 6-inch heels. I don't want to be towering over you. So for me, that's a red.
Oh, you don't want no Kevin Hart.
That's a red flag. And I feel like short people have like a funny little complex. They have like a short person's thing going on. But no, that's a red flag for me. But the next question is what is this? What flag is this for you? 6'3" or taller? Is that a no for you?
Tall, you get.
I said 6'3" or taller.
No. I'm 6 feet tall, so you get like half an inch on me. That's it. Once you get to that 1 inch taller than me, it just can't. I've tried it. I don't feel like myself when I'm dating someone that is taller than me.
Okay, heard. All right, so let's go down to our last ones, okay? These got kind of toxic a little bit. All right, what if they have young kids, like multiple young kids?
I'd love that. I love it. I think it's something very promising and noteworthy. If they're a good parent, let's just say that. If you're a good parent and you have kids and your kids love you, you can generally tell what type of person someone is based on how their kids are, because their kids are an honest reflection of them. So I welcome it. I don't, that doesn't mind me. That's a green flag. And in some cases, that's a bonus to me. So yeah.
I feel like it really just depends. If they have more than three young children or three kids by different people, that's a red flag for me. That means that they don't know how to wrap it up and they might be trying to get me next. And I'm not doing it. So that's a red flag for me. Just because I've dated many, many guys with kids. It's like pretty much everybody that I date has kids, because the older you get, everybody has kids. But I will say that like I've steered away from people who have like 4, 5, 6 kids from different people. Like, we're not doing that. I'm not doing that. So yeah. Next. Okay, so what about if they text you all day but they don't call you?
Are they answering the phone when I call?
Yeah, like they'll answer the phone, but they're just, let's just say they don't like talking on the phone, but they'll text you all day. You good with that? You said that's a green flag?
Yeah. No, it's a green flag. Like, I tend to be really like, and I'm busy to a problem. I have to really cut back on the things I do on the business side, but I tend to be so busy that it's not that I don't like talking on the phone. I don't be available when people are available to talk. So I'm a big texter, and I can respect if someone prefers to text, not to talk on the phone. As long as they can talk to me in person or they answer the phone when I call, I don't see the issue. Now, if they're just refusing to talk to me on the phone, and they don't really like talking in person, then that's a hell no. But if you just kind of are phone shy, then I'm cool with that. That's not a problem.
I would definitely say for me, I can text all day. I actually prefer it. I prefer to text all day. But for me, I do, like, if we're together and we're not like living together, I'm gonna need you to call me. That means maybe a call in the morning and a call in the evening, or maybe just a call in the evening and some text throughout the day. So, I mean, I guess it's a green flag for me. Everybody has their preferred way of communicating, and there's so many options these days. You can't really get mad at people, right? But if that shit is important, call me. Because if you can't call me and it's important, then that is a red flag.
Now, that's a fact. That is a Fendi fact, because if you text me, I might not get it when you need me to get it. So if it's important, definitely call me. Blow my phone up.
For sure. And what about if they don't have a car? Red flag, green flag, or yellow flag?
I mean, I have a car, so I don't, that's fine. That's a green flag. And I will also say it probably depends on where, to me, it depends on where you live, where I know I have friends that's like, well, if you're a certain age, you should have a car. If I was in New York City, it wouldn't matter because we don't really need to drive like that. But I will want to go places. So if both of us don't have a car, like, what are we going to do? But considering that I do, that's fine with me. As long as you're not treating me like your personal chauffeur, like, because
that's what I was going to say. And that's what I was going to say.
If you need something, I'm going to be like, no, what were you doing before I got here?
That part. I was going to say, you know, if you don't have a car, it's fine. That's a green flag because I do have a car and I know it's necessary for my life. It's a necessity for me. I need to be able to get around because I'm going a whole bunch of different places, but I don't want to be your chauffeur. And you should be able to get places on your own if you're grown. And if you're dating me, you are. So yeah, I would say green flag, but definitely a potential yellow flag and a slowdown on that because I can't be chauffeuring you around every time we got to get together. Like, I don't like that. And then the last one is pretty cut and dry. So the last one is, what if they dated somebody that you know and potentially are close to? Like, they previously dated somebody that you're either friends with or used to be involved with. What's the flag?
Red. I can't. I can't. That's red. And I say that now probably because I've never done that. I can think of one situation where that could have happened. And in that particular situation, I may have wanted to be okay with it. So like if you're dating, if I have a friend that was dating you, but this was like a long time ago. You've moved on with your life. You're married. You're living whatever. No, honestly, it's still, if that's the case, it would be a yellow flag because my friend would have to be okay with it. I don't like that. I like a sense of privacy in my life. And so I don't like the fact that you've already connected with people in my life before you connect with me on that level. That I don't like that. I don't like it. So generally speaking, no, there is an exception that might make it a yellow, but it's never a green, ever.
I'm going to say it's a yellow just because I've been in relationships with people who dated other people that I know. And they were not okay with it. And I did it anyway, because it's my motherfucking life. But I will say that it depends on the situation. Definitely depends on the situation. And I, like you said, if it was a long time ago and they're over this person, I think when the main time that it happened to me, I was kind of more manipulated by somebody. You know what I'm saying? I was made to believe that like they really didn't have anything serious with somebody and it really wasn't, like, you know what I mean? It wasn't like all of that. It wasn't given all of that. And in actuality, that was a lie. It was, and it was actually still going on. So, and I had no idea, right, that was a lie. So, you know, I was kind of manipulated in that situation. But if it's something like we're just fucking, I don't care. Like, if I know that there's no future, if there's no future for now, listen, no, it's not. No, it's not. No, because listen, it depends on what, because this has happened. Like, I was like, when I first kind of started dating back after being abstinent for like 2.5 years, I, you know, met a guy online or whatever, and we saw each other like a few times. And it just so happened that like way back in the past, like 10 years prior, he had slept with a friend of mine. And she remembered and she had told me, and I was just like, I mean, I guess, but I wasn't trying to be his girlfriend. So that kind of didn't bother me because it was like, okay, that was a long ass time ago. Now, first of all, I don't hang out with girls like that. So that wouldn't even really happen. But that's why I'm just like, it's hypothetical because I hang out with a whole bunch of dudes. But in the event that it would happen, it just would depend on the situation. How far removed were you? How serious were y'all? Like, you know what I mean? Because I mean, shit, there's only so many people in one area and everybody can't be tainted. Especially depending on how many people you know. So it's a yellow flag for me. And yeah, Rob was like, oh my God, I'm scandalous. But I mean, shit, all is fair in love and war, baby. All is fair in love and war. You heard me? Your ex might just be my husband. So what's good? What?
Dog, are you? We gonna agree to disagree.
It depends.
On that one, baby.
If we're friends, hilarious. If we're friends and you're talking shit about him, and I know he ain't shit, hell no, nah, you gonna get with him. Like it's never. It would never be somebody I was close to. Like, you know what I'm saying? It would never be like somebody that you like seriously dated and like you were like, I can't believe she. It would never be that type of situation. It would be like, oh, it was a one off. You fucked them one time. All right, like nobody cares. Like, come on. Like, for real, there's a couple, we are Eskimo buddies. No, that's actually, if they're guys. But I don't know what the girl.
The conversation we are having on the bridge is strictly for the Bridge Millennial Podcast. Do not try this at home. Do not try this at home.
I mean, y'all can try it, but I wouldn't advise it because that shit does get messy. I'm just saying it's a yellow light. I got to be honest. Like if this could be my soulmate and I find out that maybe 5 years ago, like he fucked one of my random associates, I don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? I don't care about that. But anyway, y'all, that's all we have today for the bridge. Take us out, Rob.
Yes. Thank you for that. That kickback on the sex segment. I really enjoyed that. We got to do that more often. I would love for like next episode for us to do it, but see like if we can guess each other's flags. Like if we can see
that's
what
hilarious.
The other person might think. That'd be cool. But yeah, thank you guys for tuning in.
I mean, there's plenty of red flags to go around.
Okay. Just because I ain't wave them don't mean I ain't got them. They out here. But thank you guys for tuning into this episode of The Bridge. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all listening. If you haven't already, check us out on Instagram at The Bridge Millennial Podcast. Yes, spell the whole thing out like a pimp named Slickback. And we are also on Twitter at The Glitch Homie, although we don't be tweeting like that, but we on there. And if you are looking to hit us up and join the show, you can check us out on either of those platforms. But go ahead and submit us a form request online, hit us up at thebridgemillennialpodcast.com, or you could just send us a DM on our Instagram. We would love to get your feedback and possibly have you as a guest on the show. And also you can find Shannon's personal Instagram page at I am Shannon Ashleya. It is not Shannon Ashley. What you said they always mix it up as? Shannon what?
They always say Alicia. I don't know. There's a lot of illiterate people out there. But Alicia, they all, the A is A-S-H-L-I-A. It's like Ashley with an A at the end of it.
Ashley. She does her dope content on there. And you guys can find me at Robert St. Michael on Instagram. Like I said, we're both mainly popping on Instagram. We don't really do too much of other social medias and stuff like that. But yeah, hit us up on our personal pages. Keep up with us. You know, life be life, and you can be a part of the life that life's outside of the bridge. And yeah, thank y'all for kicking it with us, and we will catch y'all in the next episode. Peace out.
In the next episode.
Hey.
All right.